We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, everybody.
We are the Pettiest Bills Podcast.
I'm not bright enough for all of that.
Drew Gator.
Because I thrive off negativity, it's just more hackery from a charlatan and a carpetbagger.
The Rock Pile Report.
My blood pressure's rising.
He gave him Coors at banquet beers out of spite.
The Pettiest, Hardest Drinking Bills Podcast.
I'll go to hell and back just to prove a point.
Everybody to another edition of the Rock Pile Report podcast. I'm your host, Bill, season ticket holder Drew Gear. That's my producer, Chris Krueger. Riding shotgun with us tonight, Doug Roloski.
Hi, everybody.
And guys, I'm not even going to waste your time. We need to get into this. We are here with this week's Bills News Update. Now, Doug, nothing has kind of raise more conjecture over the last, I'd say, 18 months when it comes to the Buffalo Bills. I mean, all the draft stuff and the wide receiver train and all these ideas that have been floating around, none of them have been as divisive an idea as the Buffalo Bills stadium and what it costs and how the PSLs are, how the PSLs are being rolled out and all of these things. Everybody seems to be very critical of the process. And understandably so, right? Like, it's a giant ask, and you're introducing you're asking a market that traditionally has been one of the lowest in terms of overall cost in the entire NFL. You are now asking them to pony up, you know, in some cases, 30 to 50% more than we did in the past. And everyone's crying foul or feels a certain type of way about it. I shouldn't say everyone, but a large portion of the population. And we've, you know, we've talked on the podcast about why we believe that's correct, incorrect, how we feel about some of their assertions. But one thing that, I don't know, one thing I find really funny is that it's always that thing. Like, if you're the person who gets mad at how much your team pays a wide receiver, if you were mad at how much your team, you know, let's say you were AJ Brown, right? You were an Eagles fan, and you go, we traded for A.J. Brown, and then you saw the extension they give him, and you go, what? Oh, my God, I can't believe we paid a wide receiver that much money. All you have to do is wait like a year or two, and someone else is going to come along and make that look small.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the nature of the NFL. Stadiums are no different.
No.
The Bills stadium was being talked about in rags all over this country. Like the guy who, literally people who write books about why stadium deals in any sport are the devil, and different financial economists decide they're going to pipe in. And the Investigative Post here in Buffalo, who, listen, is somebody who wanted to do that type of journalism for a living, most of these guys are hacks.
Didn't Kansas City just vote theirs down?
Yeah.
The people, right? Just voted theirs down.
And so this is where you're seeing how society more and more is leaning towards this idea that they don't want to pay for it.
And that's fair.
Fair.
You're talking about billionaires wanting to build billionaire toys, basically. And Throw in on top of that, especially to a low market team like us, throw that on top of that, that now the owners don't have to pay taxes on the PSL money. And now, come on now.
I know.
So I could see how it upsets some people. It definitely does.
I understand. But so here's what I want to know. Where were all of the pundits and all of the knee-jerk reactionists today at noon when the Chicago Bears held a press conference and announced that they have plans to build a waterfront stadium for $4.6 billion and they're not asking, but requiring $2.3 billion in public funding?
It's absolutely ridiculous. But
did they all die from shock? Because they've all been really quiet.
No, you didn't. You know what? You like we would have, but you know why they didn't? Because they are part of New York, L.A., and Chicago. They're part of that top three. They are, just with the market and the sheer size. Think of how many professional sports teams that Chicago has on top of the universities that all are around there and go there.
What happened to all the hacks over at the Investigative Post here in Buffalo who were talking about literally trying to paint this as the Buffalo Bills Stadium deal is I'm doing my Bill Burr voice, like, reprehensible. They're worst stadium deal in history.
And it's not, and it's so funny that you said to start the show that not only does that work with contracts, but it starts with stadiums, because as soon as the Bills announced that they were doing this and it got approved and they showed us all the renderings, what happened a week later? Tennessee came out and said, we got you beat. And they released their convention center, hotel, restaurant, mall stadium. This thing is, if you haven't seen it, like, check out the renderings of that. Like, this thing is insane. But they're using it 365.
Sure.
They're using it for everything.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
100%.
But yeah.
Understood.
So it took like a week, someone went, nah, we got that beat. A week.
It's just interesting, you know, and I think more interesting is the concept that before Chicago even really gets the ball rolling on this thing, they might have a problem. See, when you open things up to public vote, the public gets to have their say, and you can say, okay, well, it's just like you pass any law, like the legalization of marijuana. A lot of states put it to a public referendum, let the public vote.
Sure.
And eventually, it becomes passed as law because enough jurisdictions decide, you know what, we're going to do this. And so while it's still not cleared on a federal level,
right,
state by state, different state governments go, this is what my constituency wants. They voted on it.
Mm-hmm.
We can try to block it for a while if we really don't like it, but they'll just vote me out of office and put someone in who will do it. So
right. We
should probably capitulate. What I find interesting about this is you've got now that makes, Chris, on public referendums in the last, we'll call it 10 years, on NFL stadium proposals, like, can you Google this? Did Miami put their hotel tax that funded the renovation of Hard Rock Stadium to a public vote? I don't recall that one.
I'm not sure. I know Green Bay did for their renovations.
Green Bay did. Well, Green Bay has to because they're publicly owned.
Right. Right, they did. Obviously, what we said earlier, Kansas City did.
Well, so it starts with the Chargers for me. Because you go back and you look at when San Diego was kind of, hey, do you want to raise your taxes to pay for this team? And they overwhelmingly rejected it.
Correct.
And then the team moved.
Oakland, same thing.
Mayor and the Finns agree no tax-funded stadium without vote. Okay. So the public in Miami did get a say, and they voted it a yes.
Okay.
So that's one out of the last, because I can't really count Green Bay.
You know, no,
the city already owns the team.
But
so
look at the difference between Kansas City, Green Bay, and Miami. Think of the money.
Well, this
that's
is
in
sure 100%. But so then you watch San Diego say no. You watch the Super Bowl winning historic quarterback in his prime,
right,
having Kansas City go, nah.
We're good.
Which honestly, it's not a bad play just from like if I'm being of like just from a purely football perspective. Never mind the tax implications.
Mm-hmm.
You just watched your team win 3 Super Bowls in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Does it get better?
No.
Like, what are the odds that it's gonna get better than this 4 or 5 year run they've had versus what it might be 5 years from now.
Right. Well, they're
because that's what you're voting on.
Well, it's a perfect,
you're not voting on today. You're
and it
voting
was the
on
perfect time to put it out there because what are they trying to do this year? They're trying to do something that no one has ever done. They're trying to go for that three-peat. You know what I mean? No one's ever done that in the NFL.
And so the concept, though, is you're forcing people to make an emotional decision on something that realistically is going to impact them far longer than Patrick Mahomes is ever going to play.
Oh, sure.
And Andy Reid will be coaching.
Sure.
5 years from now, when Andy Reid's new extended contract goes under and Patrick Mahomes is fucked off into retirement.
Right.
What do you do as a franchise when you're like, hey, imagine having this new stadium that you're now roped into paying more taxes on, and they're going to trot out the 2030 version of Todd Collins and Alex Van Pelt?
Todd Collins. God.
You'd be living. You would be beside yourself.
Todd Collins. You know he owns the Buffalo Bills record for the longest touchdown pass ever?
No, that can't be right.
It's 100% true.
Chris, Google that. I don't believe him.
Go ahead.
It wasn't Fitzpatrick?
Nope. Todd Collins.
Google Bills longest time. I
can't wait. I can't wait to see your face when I'm right.
I'm going to be so mad. So, fucking Todd Collins. That dude ruined a part of my childhood.
Look at that. It's a Gabe Davis.
Ties.
Yeah. So, okay.
There's three with 98-yard touchdown passes. Fitzmagic to Terrell Owens.
Yep.
Gabe Davis and Josh Allen, and then who the hell did...
It's Todd Collins.
Who did he throw it? Quinn Early?
Quinn Early is a hell of a pull.
Man, I'm going to go with...
I can picture that name on the screen in like Madden 90, like Madden 92. Not Madden 92, it's like 95 or 96, but you... Yeah.
It wasn't... If that would have been... What year did we draft Molds?
I don't know.
Was it Molds?
I don't know. Either way.
Count here.
Will you two figure that out? I'm going to continue on with my point.
I just saw a name, Billy Joel Hobart. what a good guy.
Yeah. So imagine you've now voted to raise your taxes so you can watch 4, 5 to 10 years of Billy Joel Hobart.
No.
No. You're not going to do that. And I think people have become savvy enough that they said, you know what? No. I'm not putting my wallet on the line when I could be saddled with this.
Right.
When the warm and fuzzy goes away, I still have to pay the bill.
Right.
So with that in mind.
They're not dumb, though, asking right now.
This is the cost of opening those types of decisions up to a public referendum. And so the reason why I kind of opened talking about this Bears situation is that there is something unfolding here in New York State that a lot of people aren't talking about. And I think it's worth noting that could, by the time they get around to trying to...
Nailed it.
What? Wow, was it Quinn Early?
95-yard touchdown.
Okay, so we still had... let me see that. We still had Andre Reed was on the team. Molds was on the team. Jesus, they still had Tasker, too. Molds, Tasker, Reed, Quinn Early.
So one really good linebacker and three really good receivers?
Yeah. Russell Copeland. Oh, my God.
So there's something happening in, well, it's now at the U.S. Supreme Court level, guys. If you were to go Google docket number 231058 for the United States Supreme Court, what you're going to find is that just 2 weeks ago, the U.S. Supreme Court, hilariously, a case that was filed by downstate New York residents, a case attempting to force a Supreme Court injunction to halt all New York State funding of Kathy Hochul's agreement to fund the $850 million of Buffalo Bills Stadium construction. Now, I find this hilarious. You're going to see why in a second. So first of all, the principles it stand on is it's Article 7, Section 8.1, and Article 8, Section 1 of the New York State Constitution, which, for those of you who don't know, lay people, there's obviously the U.S. Constitution, and then every state sort of has its own bylaws written underneath that. This has to do specifically with the aid of any private corporation or private undertaking.
You're going to make me look up this Constitution of, like, Louisiana.
Yeah.
And just see.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine what's in the books of the Constitution of Alabama?
No.
Somewhere in there, there's a fucking Roll Tide. You know it. You know somewhere in there, someone who was printing that out just snuck in a Roll Tide.
And how many times does the word plantation come in still? I bet you it's ridiculous. They're like, you can't say that.
It's. I bet you it reads the way Ashley Schaefer talks in Eastbound and Down.
That, dude, that would be insane. You learn something new every day. I didn't know states had these.
Yes.
That's insane. Let's hear this then.
So the concept is that the New York State Constitution, by these articles and sections, forbid the use of state funds to kind of fuel any private corporation or business without public consent. Now, and I guess it doesn't say without public consent, but that's why I was talking about earlier. You put things to a public referendum, and if it passes, then you make it law. That's how things work.
Here we go.
So what they're did you find the play?
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, get up.
Oh, no one touched him.
There you go.
That's sweet.
Quinn Early, 95 yards.
See, there's no. There's another one, though.
That's the one. There's Todd Collins.
Right. There's another one, though, because he took over for Jim Kelly after Jim Kelly retired, correct?
Yeah.
The Todd Collins pass I'm talking about, he's one of the three that are tied with that 98-yarder because that happened at home.
I don't think it did. You're going to have to prove it. So while we get into this.
I'm listening.
What this guy is trying to propose is that by not allowing New York State, right, not just Erie County residents, but New York State residents to vote on the resolution to, like, supply these funds for this project, they violated his constitutional rights. The New York State, now I want to remind you, he filed that. You know how you get to the Supreme Court? Is when you filed something at every level of court that New York State has to offer, and they basically laugh you out of the room. The New York State Court of Appeals forbid him from appealing. Like, this was a thing where New York basically said, hey, get lost.
Right.
Boo. They heckled him out of the room. The Supreme Court has at least accepted the case. Now, this doesn't mean a lot, right? Like, accepting a case doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go hear arguments on it. Like, Chris, I can't wait to get the angry messages from Mark when he hears this and talks about all the ways you don't understand law. Neither do you when you pass the bar. Kiss my ass. What I understand is that accepted doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to hear arguments on it. Mm-hmm. It just means they want to look at it. They want to look at all the information. They want to see if it actually has bearing because they find it interesting. And it does make sense when you look at the scope of things, right?
Sure.
This is a citizen saying, my state gave up taxpayer dollars without our consent, which is against our state's bylaws. So we think they violated my state constitutional rights. Okay. You want to have that conversation and see what your recourse could be to compel a government to abide by that. Okay. Dumber battles have been fought and won and lost.
Sure.
But I think it's worth mentioning that the people involved sound a little... You ever heard of the term unsympathetic victim?
Sure.
I'm going to let you decide, Doug. First of all, Chris, I want you to put that photo of the guy up on the screen. Now, this guy's name is Tony Futia. F-U-T-I-A. This is a picture of him wearing what looks like an ATF jacket, right? Except it's part of his uniform for the We the People Foundation. Now, that guy on the left, Bob Scholes, is like he's like a guy who knows some legalese. I believe his lawyer.
He calls him trousers.
He calls him trousers.
Slacks.
One of them has slacks. One of them is definitely wearing what you would call trousers.
Sure.
Now, here's what I love about this guy. First of all, dude is old.
Old.
He has been fighting the IRS on the grounds that income tax is unconstitutional. This guy has been leaned and levied to the tune of more than $150,000 because he hasn't filed an income tax return since 2014. He hasn't voluntarily paid state or federal taxes since 2013.
How's he not in jail?
Because he keeps filing for injunctions. And he keeps fighting it in court. And the day's going to come here very soon where he has to go to court and they're going to be like, listen, you crazy old bastard. The rules say you have to pay your taxes. And this is what I love. There are people. Have you ever seen this, Chris? Heard about sovereign citizens?
No.
Okay. Dog, have you ever heard about this phenomenon? Google it, Chris. Sovereign citizen. It's a group of people who show up places and basically if you tried to pull them over for speeding and you ask to see their license, they'll say, I don't have to comply with that because I've declared myself a sovereign citizen, which means your U.S. law doesn't pertain to me.
That person's just a douchebag.
Sovereign citizens believe that courts have no jurisdiction over people and that the use of certain procedures, such as writing specific phrases on bills they do not want to pay and loopholes, can make one immune to government laws and regulations.
That's just a douchebag. You can't do that.
Is that the layman's term for what it is to live in a...
You can't do that. Who says that? A douchebag says that. Come on. You know what you know what you're going to make me do? All right? You're going to make me find a court report of this. I actually want to hear how this dude speaks.
Go talk to Mark.
In a court of law. I just want to hear the old man speak.
Just get three beers and Mark Smith will tell you all about it because they show up in Depew traffic court all the time. I'm a sovereign citizen. What are you talking about? You were speeding.
I just want to hear this old guy talk. You imagine him talking to Your Honor, I fought the Nazis, okay? And now you want to tax me some income tax it's talking about? You can't do that to me.
No, I'm not going to sit here and hand-wring over this guy's case, right? But I think it's interesting. I mean, for all we know, this guy, and that's the worst part, because he's so old, they're not going to throw him in prison, right?
No, they're not going to do that.
But man, if there was anybody who was ever asking to be thrown in debtor's jail, it's this guy.
Oh, it's him all day. Nothing since 2014?
I'm not filing my tax returns. I'm not paying my taxes. What are you going to do about it? It's like, no, the government can do everything. I had this conversation with a former coworker. Everything in life is a choice. And people go, well, they forced me to do this. No. Nobody forced you to do anything.
No.
There is always a choice. It just means sometimes taking on a consequence that you don't like.
That's just asinine to me. You imagine the balls? The balls on you. You can't ask for my license, sir. You are going 108 miles an hour. You don't have the right. Get the hell away from my car. Like, what? And what are you going to do if you're the cop?
You don't have the
right. What are you going to do? Officer, this dude's 92 years old. What are you? You're not going to get in a fight with a 92-year-old. I don't care if you're 58 years old at the end of your career. You're still not going to fight that guy. You're going to drag a 92-year-old war vet out of his car because he goes, nah, I ain't giving you my license. You can't ask me that.
It's a wild scenario.
Oh, my God.
But this is the guy who's now launching something that could become legislation or at least could complicate something that we're all kind of have a vested interest in.
And Chris, where did he say?
Seeing how it pans out.
Where did he say he lived? Where was he from? Westchester?
Yeah.
Yeah, Westchester, New York. So it's down, it's like the tri-state area, White Plains.
Okay.
So down there by where it touches Connecticut.
So right outside of New York City.
I've been to Westchester.
Yeah.
Fancy
place. My best friend in high school, Mike Kofel.
Oh, before you say it, guy also divested himself conveniently before he stopped paying his taxes, divested himself of all of his property and everything else, gifted it to his kids, tax sheltered all of his money.
So they can't take it.
Continue.
Now, high school.
Okay.
So up in that area, they don't have high schools that are like centered around kids with like just standard learning disabilities.
Okay.
So this kid moved from Westchester to Milton, Georgia, where I went to high school, lived with his aunt who worked at the school, and him and I became like, we were best friends. Like, senior year of high school, I flew to New York City, and we went back and visited his parents because he'd been living with his aunt all school year. Also had a house in the Hamptons. His dad was huge into the medical industry, and I think after high school, his mom and dad moved out of Westchester, and they bought the house that they filmed Real World Boston in. And that's where his parents moved to after living in Westchester's amazing town.
A lot of money.
So it's this concept that there's a guy who's decided he's going to be a martyr for the average person, and in the process has involved our football team in some nonsense. I'm going to be paying attention to that case as it kind of unfolds over the next God knows how long, just to see what happens.
Sure.
But also, it's funny, you know, we started this talking about the Bears Stadium. Can you imagine what's going to happen to them if the rule, like, let's say the U.S. Supreme Court decides, hey, every state that has this language in their state's bylaws, you're no longer allowed to unilaterally pass the stuff. It has to go to a public referendum.
Mm-hmm. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What does that do to stadium construction anywhere?
Well, you got to remember also recently, 2023, what the owner of the Chicago Bears did as well.
Nick?
He purchased property 45 minutes outside of downtown Chicago and said, I'm building a new stadium here. I'm moving Soldier Field outside of Chicago. The people probably are like, no, you're not. No, no. So now he's probably smart. He's probably like, okay, fine. Well, I'm going to build this monster right on the water. I believe that's Lake Michigan.
True.
I believe it's Lake Michigan. I'm going to build this monster stadium complex. And you want it to stay here? You don't want me to go 45 minutes down the road? No problem. I want a couple $1 billion, though.
And if they say no, he just laughs and does the Stan Kroenke. Literally goose steps his way out of the city.
He will. He'll move it 45 minutes away down the road. And like that, with a big smile on his face.
The Hallises wouldn't do that, though.
Dirty pool.
Again, an interesting wrinkle to something that might cost... Because if you think about it, let's say they're successful. And let's say they're forced to halt funding while they put it to a public referendum. You're not going to stop stadium construction while you figure that out. So whose pocket is that coming out of?
The owners.
Terry Pegula's.
Right.
Which leads us to our second piece of business here tonight. Kind of underscores, like, hey, there's a lot of things going on with the stadium that might end up costing Uncle Terry a little bit more cash.
Sure.
It's convenient that he had put this out to the public the week of the draft.
Right.
To try to bury it.
Right.
That Terry Pegula, well, he didn't put it out, and that's the hilarious part about this. But, guys, whether you know this or not, Terry Pegula has been searching for an investor in his football team. Mm-hmm. Now, there was lots of rumblings last week when rumors started to surface that Terry Pegula was looking to sell some of his holdings.
25%.
Well, this is the thing. That's not how it started. The rumors actually started with he was looking to sell some of his teams. Mm-hmm. And I texted Chris and I go, this is actually kind of convenient because just a few weeks ago we did a podcast where we walked through the timeline. You know, it's probably better if you watch it on YouTube. You guys, Chris, what's the Rockpile Report YouTube handle?
It's the Rockpile Report on YouTube.
Bang.
I used the conveniently.
Boom.
Tried to go Rockpile Report. It wasn't taken, and I didn't immediately go to numbers like Drew does.
100%.
When he tries to go social media routes with our handle.
Fresh 5-9.
The Rockpile Report on YouTube. Because
I'm still stuck in 2002 when I'm trying to make up my
Rockpile Report 716-897-1511-12.
HM Fan 1928, baby. What was your AIM AOL Instant Messenger name?
I never had it. I never had that. I never have Instagram, Twitter, Tweeter, Facebook. I've never
your wife has a Facebook and you use it sometimes.
And guess what? I still have a Gmail account for my a Hotmail account. I do. My email is a Hotmail account.
Chris, what was your high school, college AOL Instant Messenger?
My AOL Instant Messenger name was NHL Live 725.
What a dork.
Now, that's a combination NHL, the band Live, and my birthday.
With the band Live?
Yes. The band Live.
That's even more embarrassing. Live, I would have kept that to myself.
Like, no. I alone love you. Like them?
Yeah.
Wow. So, wow. Oh, I didn't know you're that big of a fan. Do you have a Live tattoo on you somewhere?
No.
Please.
No. So the second CD that I ever bought in my life was Throwing Copper by Live. Oh,
what was the first one?
Presidents of the United States of America.
Peaches.
You know, I saw
Peaches. You know what mine was?
What?
Smash Mouth. The Walking on the Sun album. What was yours? First CD you bought?
First CD I ever purchased was the Top Gun soundtrack.
You're a turd, man. It probably had one of them just in jeans in the beach scene, and you're like, you know what? I want to be this one.
Dude, playing with the boys? I'll still get fired up over that song. You turn it on right now, I'll flip this table.
Last time I saw you flip a table, you hear the Clemson keys start? We were in your basement. Clemson beat Alabama for the national championship.
I flipped the table, and you just looked at my wife and went, okay, got to go.
And I left. Like, you got him.
I saw a meme the other day that was just like, you know, there's been millions of songs written about getting your heart broken, but only one about moving to the country and eating a lot of peaches.
Peaches, man.
Think about that.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I like it.
So, I digress. We, you know, stories start coming out and circulating about how I was talking about this. I'm like, he can't find anybody to run his businesses. They've all been a shit show other than the Bills because the people in charge are basically like, Terry, get your mitts off. You and Kim, stay the hell away from what we're doing over here. Keep all that shit on you. And it's always been a disaster.
But that's why it's worked for the Bills so far.
Exactly. So then stories start circulating talking about how the Sabres are going to be sold alongside pretty much everything except for the Bills. I didn't know that he owned the Nighthawks and the Bandits.
I know he owned the Bandits. He owns the Rochester Nighthawks.
And so all these stories start. I'm getting text messages from my uncle. Like, what do you know about this? Have you heard anything? And I'm like, fuck, no, I haven't heard anything because it can't be real.
If he ended up ever selling the Sabres, does that come with the Americans? Is it a 2-for-1 kind of deal?
I believe so.
I don't know.
Because they have an arena with upkeep and everything like that, too.
Call in if you know. Chris, here's a question. What were your first thoughts or feelings when you saw that blurb come across Twitter about how, hey, the Sabres might get sold?
Well, I will tell you this. Greg Zahn reached out to me with a tweet from somebody
that loves you. I love the fact that you haven't worked with this guy in years and he still texts you.
He texted me a link to a Twitter thread from somebody that had like 300 follows. I'm like, this is not a reputable source.
This is what happens when you let the elderly loose with Twitter.
Right. If it was 3 million, be like, okay, all right, I got it.
No, but then the next day I saw like Tim Graham tweet something about it. But
so what were your feelings in the moment when you're like, oh my God?
Well, my brain went to, okay, I saw 25% is what I...
No, I'm not talking about the Bills. I'm talking about when you thought the Sabres might get sold.
Oh, no, No.
You just never believed it?
I still don't believe
it. Your immediate reaction when you started hearing that noise?
Yeah, I can buy it. Because, here's the only reason why I can understand that. And I understand if Mr. Pegula had to pick one. I'm assuming he's going to pick to keep the Sabres because he's a huge hockey fan. All the money he put in Penn State and everything like that. But the dude has to cover all the overage in this stadium, okay? On top of that, you have a losing franchise right now in the Buffalo Sabres in one of the worst arenas in the league. Like, they need a new building. So instead of that, what is he doing? He's putting on a brand new roof. He's putting up a brand new Jumbotron, and they're going to put a couple of some amenities in there. Okay? That's still going to cost, what, $80 million doing?
So my overarching point here throughout this conversation is that all of this started with these tweets, but it came from a place that people didn't understand. So the people who thought they were breaking the story on this, like, oh my God, he's selling these teams, he's doing all this stuff, all of this came from one place. That one person found out that Terry Pegula had hired Allen & Company, which is a known firm when it comes to brokering transactions. Like, if you, they're one of the companies that's known for brokering sales of teams.
If you say brokering, it's multi-hundreds of millions,
or
billions of
sales
dollars.
Of equity in teams. But sure. Nobody, but everybody jumps to the worst possible conclusion first, because right. That's how that goes. So one person lets it slip that they've hired Allen & Company for some exploratory conversations, and the conversation immediately skews to what you would believe. Mm-hmm. The Sabres are a losing franchise, and the building sucks, and everything's been bad, and Pegula can't get it right, so obviously he wants to sell him. And that's what everyone ran with. The reality was, and I'm sure there was probably a sense of relief among some people, when they found out that it wasn't to sell any of his other franchises, it was to try to facilitate a non-controlling portion of the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. Now, just to give some people some background, the NFL has been talked about, like Forbes called it the hardest. So what did they say? It's the strictest ownership rules of any professional sport.
Like to get into?
So if you want to be considered an owner, right? You have to have a lead investor. One, doesn't matter how big your group is, the lead investor has to have a 30% stake by himself. Because NFL owners don't want to have, like, what are you going to, like, think about those NFL owners meetings as a richer, fatter United Nations.
Right, they don't want six people representing the Bills sitting at the table.
Chris, imagine if it was like, hey, and now this is the Buffalo delegation, and it's,
right.
And it's Mark Smith, because you know he's rich, Mark Smith, and then it's you and me and Doug in a pinstripe suit with his Jesus piece hanging out and his hair slicked back.
I got good hair, Chris.
And they have to sit there and go, I'm not talking. Hey, like, if I were to walk up to Steve Piscotty and try to ask him a question, do you think he's going to talk to me?
Do you know why the Atlanta Thrashers are no longer around?
I'd love to hear it.
Because they were owned by a group, and yep. Everyone hated each other.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're in
ownership,
Winnipeg.
And ownership groups don't work. And so that's right. Where they say one person has to be the figurehead, because that's the only person we're negotiating with, where mm-hmm. We want to talk to that person. We want to know that guy has say. Everyone else can contribute their money, but there's only one person we're willing to talk to. Can you imagine if I walked up and tried to ask Steve Biscotti for a favor? He pays people to mace people like me.
So what kind of person do you think is going to be looking into this 25%? Because they're not going to have a say on anything,
and so,
but this is strictly going to be
And it gets tougher than that. No group can be larger than 25 people. The group can't borrow more than $1 billion from any bank, anything else. It all has to be, like, so whoever's buying an equity stake has to have it in cash.
Chris, what's 25% of $3.6 billion?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So, Chris, can you give us the figure? What are the Bills worth today? And here's the other thing. No private equity firms, no sovereign firms, you know, sovereign funds, and no public corporations may buy a part of an NFL team. Although, the money pig that they are, they did put together a group to analyze that and see if they couldn't soften their stance.
So you're just talking straight. You got to have – well, that's going to limit the field for
there's
sure.
There's a dude who has to have the nut, and then everybody – like, he can have 10 guys with him who all chip in, but there's one guy who's got to have a giant chunk of liquidity. Now, Chris, what are the Bills currently worth as of
– $3.7 billion, and if you're selling 25% of that, it comes to $925 million.
So right off the bat, okay, so we're just gonna say $900 million. We'll make it easy. Right off the bat, in New York State, celebrities, other owners, whatever you think of, entertainers, who has that kind of money from New York State?
There's probably not a singular guy, which is why this group dynamic becomes important. Because you're gonna find minority in what? You got your hand up?
John Bon Jovi.
I'll shoot you in the mouth.
I almost punched your screens. I was going to say, I'm not even being funny. Because there's two of them. And they're married. You know who came right to my mind?
Who?
I'm not being funny.
Oh, boy.
Let
me lean back for this one.
Jay-Z and Beyonce. That's the only thing I could think of in the state who combined have $900 million to give to that dude.
I don't know if you've been following social media lately, but Jay-Z's got his own. He's got 99 problems, and the Buffalo Bills ain't one. He doesn't need this, and we don't need that.
I mean, he ain't friends with Diddy.
yeah, that's kind of part of the problem.
Oh no, boy.
You know. Oh yeah, no, it's bad, dog.
So Tom Hanks is out.
Tom Hanks is also out. Yes.
All right.
Like, you could have a coalition of people who come together to kind of cobble that together
with one spokesperson.
Yeah, the minority holder would have to be a figurehead, and they would have to own at least 30% of whatever the investment is. Now you're talking about $900 million. Okay. Oh, he's got the list of richest Americans.
Who's that lady in the middle?
No, these are the 62 New Yorkers made Forbes.
That's
richest.
It. That's, see, I went with New Yorker because, listen, you could still live in New York and fly out here every Sunday on your private jet with your 52-minute flight and get to the game. You know what I mean?
I understand.
That's the only reason why I said New York.
Now, here's what I'll say. Like, when he mentioned John Bon Jovi, like, I don't know about people who we'd want, but I do know a list of people who shouldn't be allowed anywhere near this. Nope. He's one of them.
Oh, absolutely, he's one of
them. Like,
if
Chris ever brings that idea up in this studio again, I'm going to put on Playing with the Boys. I'm going to cut the jeans I'm wearing right now, I'm going to cut them into jorts. I'm going to take my shirt off, and I'm going to tear this place apart brick by brick.
I don't even, listen, I could be sitting at work in the jail, okay? I could be in my car, whatever. If I hear a Bon Jovi song, it immediately gets changed. Immediately. I still can't. This dude wanted to, even the idea of going to Toronto, it just gets me infuriated.
I'm laughing at the idea of you, like in the movie The Longest Yard, going into a prisoner's day room and just shutting the radio off because there's a Bon Jovi song on.
Oh, I'd smash one.
Just going, what?
I'd smash one.
What? Who wants a piece of it?
Listen, if you know it, listen, I've been at that jail long enough, and they call me Mr. R. If you know that you hear Prince coming out of my van, you better stay away because I'm in the zone, I'm singing, and if it's Purple Rain, I'm not afraid to cry in front of people. If it's Purple Rain, I might tear up and cry. Him riding on that bike, one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life, man.
I also think that this might be a blessing in disguise for all parties involved. The Sabres, the Amherst, the Nighthawks, the Bandits. Follow me here. First of all, the act of taking on an investor like that is essentially just taking out a home equity loan.
Mm-hmm.
People do it all the time. I have projects that I need to accomplish, and I don't have, or at least I have cash that I don't want to touch because it's generating interest for me, and I'll pay penalties. But also, I've got some projects I need to do, and I think I can get some money out of some stuff I own. But I don't want to give up control of that thing.
Correct.
So I'm just going to take out a home equity loan. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. Somebody else will give me the cash and attach an interest rate of that of their own.
Right. And that's
and
what
say,
he's
hey,
doing.
I'll make a VIG. And now all part of, like, in reality, that's what's happening.
Sure.
It's a bunch of people are going to get together, give Terry Pegula a lump sum of cash. And in return, what they're going to get is a little VIG put on top of it when someday either the team sells or they decide to buy out, get bought out, whatever the case may be. That's one. Two, it potentially lays the groundwork for an assumption of ownership down the road should the Pegula family at a certain point in time decide they no longer want to own the team. Anybody who's interested in owning and kind of wants to get their foot in the door
mm-hmm.
could, in theory, become a minority stakeholder first.
Sure.
And then they start to work the NFL circles and start to meet people and start to, that way they can get, like, hey, NFL owners don't know me and they have to approve of me first. Let me get to know some of them first, and then when the day comes where T-Peg says, hey, I don't want the team,
right?
Or he passes, his wife passes, and his daughter, they don't want the team.
They could be like, we've worked with Bon Jovi for the last decade, and we know...
Over my dead body?
Right, and we know that, like, they're going to have a better chance getting approval for a sale to become a next owner of something, because they're going to be noticed that, oh... Well, we've already had him around or her around for the last 10 years.
It becomes part of succession planning for an NFL franchise. Also, so you got your cash, you got your succession planning in case.
And let's say that number's accurate, $900 million.
But there's also something I've been thinking about.
It's going to cover a lot.
That goes back to this idea of the podcast we did talking about how shitty these executives. I mean, literally, they can't stop quid pro quoing their way out of their jobs.
Yeah.
Every single suit that Terry Pegula puts in is like president of PSE or I'm going to name this guy the CEO and this is going to be my head counsel.
The CFO.
Why are you fooling around in England? What's happening here? He can't find people he trusts to do the job well.
Right.
And they all keep botching it. They get themselves fired. And it's hilariously bad.
When's his daughter done playing tennis so she can just go back to Harvard, finish her stuff?
This is it. It's like at a certain point, someone needs to step in here. But this is why bringing in another group of wealthy individuals may have an advantage for the franchise, in the sense that what you'd be doing is you'd be bringing in other wealthy people. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe not billionaires, multi-billionaires, but you'd be bringing in other wealthy people who then, by default, you've widened the circle of other capable executives that they may know.
Right.
You gain access to networks of other professionals who you think can come in and work in a sports capacity to run a business,
yeah,
like it's a business and not like it's Mad Men inside the office. I think that there's a lot of benefit to this.
Well, think about just the relief that it's going to give him. Mm-hmm. Like, again, like I was saying, let's say that $900 million is accurate. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's going to cover his overage for what's going to happen at this arena or at this stadium. And that's going to cover the upgrades that he's doing at the Sabres arena this offseason, like I said, with the roof and the Jumbotron. Okay. And then some. You're going to have stuff left over. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So maybe it's going to give – I mean, he's a billionaire. What did they just say? He's worth $6 billion, 6.6, something like that. That's what Pagula is worth. That's his net worth.
Oh, see, luckily, you know what for I mean? We have luckily for us, we have a better-looking Jamie Vernon.
Okay, so 6.8. So that's going to give him some relief to where, okay – I'm going to be able to make sure the stadium is good and anything in the foreseeable future that comes up. You know, they want to do a 40-foot tall Buffalo in front. You know what I mean? Whatever. He can cover it. This is going to give him a little peace of mind.
Or if some idiot downstate ties up his money for an extra 6-7 months.
Right. You know what I mean? That's all it's going to do. And this doesn't mean that the Pagula family can't own this team for the next 100 years.
Okay.
They can. They're going to own 75%. The 25% be like, no, I don't think you should trade this person. And be like, huh.
You don't get a say.
Thanks, though. Appreciate you.
Well, the funny thing is they would have to go, like, someone would come in as a minority owner and go, hey, I don't think that that's a good football decision. And Terry would laugh and go, oh, I don't think you understand how this works. I don't even get to make those calls. You have to talk to Brandon Bean.
Right.
And Brandon Bean is going to be, like, you're going to walk into his office as a minority stakeholder in the team. And he's going to not even have his shirt on. That's how little he respects you. You're going to walk into his office, and he's going to ignore you for the first 5 minutes you're in there.
Chris,
and then be like, oh, sorry, I didn't see you there.
Chris, what Drew just said, what he just said is absolutely why I still have faith in the Sabres, is because we have watched Pagula do it with the Bills. We've watched it be like, you know what? Nah, I'm going to let Bean and McDermott run this show. And I'm going to sit back here. I'm going to throw my 2 cents in when it comes to a first overall draft pick or paying a Josh Allen. I'll throw my 2 cents in. But I'm just going to mind my own here. As soon as he figures that out with the Sabres, I think they're going to be okay.
Give the job to hockey people and get out of the way.
Lindy Ruff. Oh, stop.
We could have the Lindy Ruff conversation all night. But I'll tell you what, guys. I think this has been a productive conversation. I think Absolutely. We've covered a lot. I think we all learned something, especially Doug, who didn't know what a sovereign citizen was. Do you know that there's whole YouTube compilations of these people just getting tasered?
If you were a police officer and someone told you, imagine someone and you've had a bad day. You they're in the wrong. You are right. You can't ask me for that. Get the hell away from me.
I don't have to step out of the vehicle because I'm a sovereign citizen. Your laws don't apply to me. You want to bet?
Right. Hey, back off, Four Eyes. Right. Next thing you know, you're on paid administrative leave
because
you just dragged an 88-year-old man
and that's it.
out of his car window.
You're like, oh, I can't do this. We just have to let this guy. That's how the IRS is looking at him.
This dude fought in the Battle of the Bulge in Belgium, and he's getting tasered and taken down by Drew Gear.
So the IRS is looking at this guy going, we should just hammer this guy, but we can't smite.
Because he doesn't. How smart is he, though? You know what? Here, honey. Grandkids, kids, everyone getting all their stuff.
He offloaded everything, and now he's standing there daring the government to smite him, and they're like, damn it.
I need to get my hands on this court transcript and just see how he addresses people. I hope he talks down to them.
I was going
to I really hope he's a nasty, nasty man and that he just talks down. And he's Italian, right? Look at this.
Sovereign citizen getting tasered in court.
This man gets tasered in court while trying to clear his name.
You did a good job of clearing your name, sir.
I like.
And now you're just guilty of a different crime.
And that looks like a nice courtroom, too.
And that crime is called stupidity. And on
D-bag.
And on that note, guys, we're going to get out of here. I'm Drew Geer. That's Chris Krueger. That's Doug Orlowski. And this has been your Bills News Update.